Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Welcome to the Rest Podcast number 626.
626.
Pasadena
that's
area code.
That's a Pasadena
code.
Area code, friend.
I know.
Local jokes get you local work.
Thank you for that, Blaine Kapach joke. Yeah, that's my mom. My mom's a 626.
She sure is, yeah.
This episode,
that sounded weird. She sure is.
Wait, how do you know that?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I am worried about it.
No. I used to love thinking that I could make jingles. It just like for local. I tried to pitch to some like local skate shops when I was a...
You know, do you remember any of them?
Call 808 skate for your next skate date.
That's adorable. What if they just wanted to use a track by the band 808 State?
808 State. I think it was a reference to that.
Do you know how much I loved 808 State when I was in college?
You know, I wouldn't be able to tell you one what they sound like, and I don't know why. It's 808 State. It's a Hawaii reference, but for some reason, I never checked them out.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and I don't know why. There's a ton of, you know, because of like that you know, college
it was
classic.
It was almost like palatable rave beats kind of, I don't know.
You know what I just rebought after a long time is that Fatboy Slim record.
Which one?
Halfway from the Gutter to the Stars. Or the one with like Rockefeller Skank.
Right.
But like, I forgot how good that album is in total. It's such a good album. Like the Fatboy Slim is fucking in heaven.
Fucking in heaven. This is 808 State. There was a lot of this kind of early 90s.
Oh, okay, yeah. Would they describe this as jungle now?
Yeah.
They would say jungle. They would call this jungle.
No lyrics.
That's called an orchestra hit. You can find that on a keyboard, a Casio keyboard.
You know what?
I don't mind that.
The reason I loved 808 State so much is because I was a huge Art of Noise fan.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And so that was sort of like, I always felt like they were an extension of like of Art of Noise or Yellow.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you were very much of that time. I think we talked about before, like how you were very, like the perfect time for like early rave dance stuff.
Yes.
Like, and like that's because that's when that stuff was still, it was like still an underground.
TV's Will Wheaton. TV and Internet's Will Wheaton.
Throwing shapes.
Wanted to be a DJ.
Yeah.
Like, he bought all this crazy DJ equipment with Starfleet money. And
just never got together.
He did it for a while, and then...
You mean, like, most DJ gear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did either of you ever wear a Dr. Seuss hat, non-ironically?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, you did? Yeah!
Oh, shit.
Don't worry about it. Maybe wow. I had a rave whistle. Maybe I had a fucking clock around my neck.
Nice.
Would you knew what time it was.
Yeah. Would you do ecstasy?
No, I've never done it.
Oh, shit. Was everyone else?
Will and I didn't do... Like, we were...
Just about the music, man.
No, I was going to say it was more about the drinking for me. I just never did
drugs.
But
that's the thing. So many raves. When I first started going on, which is, you know, mid-90s.
They had no booze. Because
they're all ages events.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like people were... I can't handle anything. If something weird is happening to my body and I can't identify it, instant panic attack.
Oh, but you understood booze.
But what?
You understood booze enough to be like...
Yeah, because it was very... Like, because booze...
It made perfect sense.
Unless I was drinking, like, hard alcohol...
Yeah.
Like, booze, like light booze, like beer and stuff, like it just sort of glides you into a sense of control.
Yeah.
Even though you don't have it. And drugs are sort of like, what just happened?
Turn the page and here you are.
Yeah. Like with like tequila was the same thing for me. It'd be like, I feel fine. All of a sudden, like, I do not feel fine.
Yeah. I got to go. I got to go.
At Midnight is back at its regular time this week of Midnight.
Welcome back.
Named after the show. Tonight's episode, we've had some amazing guests this week, too. By the way, thank you for everyone who tuned in at 11:30. But now we're back to Midnight after the nightly show with Larry Wilmore and Patton Oswalt on tonight, Pete Holmes, Kyle Kinane.
Holy shit, what a lineup.
Very much lineup.
Wow. Very much lineup.
Very much lineup, Doge.
Tequila.
Very much. Very much lineup. Comedy happen.
Watch show now.
What are you guys doing?
Moving.
What?
I thought it was a good idea to, like, I was like, I have a month to move all my stuff. It's the worst idea I could have ever fucking thought of. Just every little piece of paper is like, I can find a place for this.
Hoard it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This episode is Rainn Wilson returning, who's not been here since episode. Well, technically, he popped in on the Bryan Cranston episode, but he really hasn't been here since episode 39. When Enjoy Your Burrito was born.
Enjoy Your Burrito was born, exactly.
He's on a new show called Backstrom, which premieres... Backstrom!
Backstrom!
All right! He premieres this Thursday at 9 p.m. on Fox. It was great to have him back on. He also popped on at Midnight and played as a fourth contestant. So here's Nerds Podcast with Rainn Wilson. Here's Nerds Podcast number Pasadena with Rainn Wilson.
Bingo bango.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
To the podcast.
Sorry, I'm late.
That's okay.
There was a big traffic mix-up. Hi, Katie.
It's weirdly in character.
Nice to
weirdly
see
in character for your new show, Backstrom.
My lateness?
Yes.
You work that.
Rainn Wilson.
Are we recording already?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just walked in and you just hit record.
That's how it works now. A lot's changed since you were on almost 5 years ago.
You know what we learned, though, is that we shouldn't do any eating at all.
I'm so glad you remembered that. That was our first...
I remember that.
The internet?
Rainn was on episode 39, which, by the way, was the birth of Enjoy Your Burrito, which has since become the mantra of the podcast.
Fantastic.
And then you slightly appeared again on another episode that...
that's right.
Oh, yeah,
that
I jumped in when
Cranston was on.
There, and
you had that sexy studio for a while behind glass and, like...
That was Ryan Seacrestia. That was part of his domain.
Oh, that's
that
right.
We were borrowing.
And now you have your own little.
Now we have our brick room.
Yeah,
which is not as sexy, but it's quite
and much cooler. Colder. Much cooler.
It's cooler temperature wise. It's cooler vibe wise.
I'm glad I wore my flannel today.
Yeah, you look pretty fucking.
But I want to thank you also for the amazing parking space you guys gave me.
Where did they give you a parking space?
Was it? It's about half a mile from here.
You got a space?
I got the substructure E.
Oh shit! That's where they throw.
Katie,
the writers,
make sure that they don't.
And then
that wasn't supposed to happen.
I did through. Okay, sure, Chris.
It's supposed to be further.
Three gates. So the drive-on gate, and then the ID, and then the parking lot gate, and then the walk-on gate.
Yeah.
Well, and while you're here, I'm gonna have to check your ID. I'm sorry. Okay, it's just part of it. It's the fourth
there
gate. Okay. This checks out.
Please don't give out any of my vital information.
All right.
The air.
You know, Chris. No disrespect at Midnight, but the security here is a bit much. It doesn't seem like there's that many people.
I've had to argue my way onto the lot twice. Because I didn't have my idea. I'm like, no, I see you. I'm here all the time. Like, there's one guy that's normally here, and the other guy. I'm like, I know. I go.
I'm the guy who created the company that's in that giant building in the
corner. I'm on stage two, and they're like, where's your idea? I'm like, it's over.
That logo.
But
that logo is me.
I promise you. I know this is crazy.
Yeah. That's exactly why I ride my bike to work. Because I can. I just go in the front gate because it was a pain in the ass. They throw me an E. All the riders park an E, and it takes us 20 minutes to like walk up to the thing, but it takes me 3.5 minutes.
You should have your
ride
podcast over in parking lot E. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Nice over in the set shop where they build all the sets.
Yeah, that's where we should do it.
See you, Chris. I want to give you a hug, but there's this enormous desk between us.
Well, we could awkwardly try to hug her. We could hug afterwards.
No, let's hug now and let's have them describe the hug and how it's going, kind of give a blow by blow.
Okay.
All right.
Welcome to Hardwick Rain Hug. First. Let's see. They're going in.
Shuffle.
They're doing a cross arm. One.
Clearly,
no.
What you see here is
no one is more
Rain
of the dominant.
Had to move more than Chris.
Yeah, but
Chris
did you
again
notice,
showing
the end,
his dominance in this room.
In the end, they crisscrossed their arms.
Wait, but
one
watch.
Had one on top. One had one on bottom. Both of them.
But let's watch
equal
the
respect.
Handshake.
Oh, the hand.
Oh,
I
see, he turned around.
Dominant
Wayne is
handshake.
Now
dominant
asserting handshake. Dominance well, over the diminutive
my hand
Hardwick.
Went completely supine on that one as Rain dominated.
Have you ever had people, I have had multiple people in Hollywood, I don't think it happens anywhere else, do the alpha male handshake?
Ugh. Yeah, you know, there's like a sect of douchebags who read like The Art of War.
Yeah.
I did read it, by the way.
Sure.
But
you were in like high school, though.
But then people, you know, it's like, no, that shit works. You stare people down. It's like all that crazy. Like, what if we just, what if everyone was just cool? What if
just hug and just be mellow?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can always tell. Okay, so let me ask you this. When you're in a situation where someone you think is like trying to dude-dom you, and you can
like
feel.
Like a BJ Novak.
And you can feel.
Shots fired!
Jesus!
Boom!
No, man. Novak's a very sweet guy.
He's a lovely guy. I love him on the podcast.
Sweet is not a word I would use.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Predatory?
He's a nice guy with a good heart.
Yep.
And he's an odd bird, no question. He'd say the same thing about me, but sweet, no.
BJ is a huggable shark. How about that?
There
can we agree that?
Yes. Yeah.
Cartoon
that's
shark.
Perfect.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Jabberjaw.
Jabberjaw. Yeah, he's Jabberjaw.
He's not Jabberjaw.
No, I take him in the wacky races.
But good reference. But when someone goes to shake your hand and you can tell that they're squeezing 10% too hard, do you allow them to squeeze or do you start squeezing back until there's like a squeeze escalation?
I match the squeeze.
You do match the squeeze.
I have to match the squeeze. But also, it really bugs me, like a really soft handshake bugs me. And I will say that I passive aggressively squeeze an extra 10%.
Here, nice to meet you.
Oh, you did squeeze, yeah.
You know what you should do? Just start pulsating. Go in between a soft handshake and an aggressive handshake and see what they do.
Just a pump.
Throw them off guard. Just go. Well.
You want to? Oh, so you think doing a pulsating thing? Right. To me, that would like I would immediately recoil.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. That now you're in the power play, Chris.
What?
Yes. Now you the one. You're the one that's putting them off guard.
Now you the one.
Now you the one.
You the one in charge.
You're so street.
You're the man now, dog.
Street.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
Guy moves into Highland Park, and now he's a street man.
Guys, I saw graffiti the other day moving out of the pristine gardens of Atwater Village.
And not that arty graffiti that you see like at Meltdown.
It's no, like, it looks scary, like a youth did it.
The edges were rough.
It didn't look like
there was
Obey.
No silver outline around it.
I don't think this guy is sanctioned by, by Shepherd the Ferry.
Local. The local business
there was owner. No, yeah, exactly. There was no gift shop nearby.
There is a great graffiti mural in Highland Park, though, and it has like about four or five gremlins on it, and one of them has 3D glasses and is eating popcorn. That's in Highland Park. That's why I'm glad.
He's not eating
there.
It after midnight, is he? Because that's seriously dangerous.
I think that's part of the thing. If you go there around midnight, see how many more gremlins are on the wall.
Oh, that's very annoying.
Well, but a gremlin not, but can eat after midnight. After, a mugwai can't.
Yes. I'm sorry. When it rains, you should go by the wall.
That's what
see
I'm
how
talking
many more gremlins
about.
Are there.
That's
it takes out other
about.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to tell you a funny story about Gremlins,
please,
the movie.
Please.
The late Roger Ebert.
Yes.
I went to the opening screening in Chicago, and this was like 83 or something like that. And he was there, and then the local newscast, this is before he was famous at all. And the local, you know, Chicago number 9 was like interviewing him about Gremlins, and he loved Gremlins. And I went, snuck in behind him over his shoulder and made faces over his shoulder nice. Into the camera.
Nice.
So somewhere on camera, and me, I was like 17 years old, and I was going like over Roger Ebert's shoulder, I was going,
derp, 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 derp.
Yeah,
someone find that.
And now he's dead.
That footage must exist at somewhere.
Yeah, they probably recorded over it.
We don't need
before
this.
He was,
they probably
know,
took the tabs off.
Those giant
VHS.
Tapes they had.
Yeah. Well, now that can live on your IMDb page as your appearance in Channel 9 Channel 9 News.
Add one to the himself column.
Co-starring Roger Ebert. Yes. First appearance, goofy onlooker.
What's happening on the Nerdist? I was on number 39. How many have you guys done now?
This 623 went up today.
What? Yeah. What?
That's so how many, that's almost how many
six,
you haven't been on.
About 600 episodes have passed since you were on.
Holy moly. What have you guys found to talk about?
Oh, just the same shit.
Chris. Mainly,
yeah.
Mainly
yeah.
Chris.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of stuff going
so
on.
So many things about
his career's
me
going great.
Like
so many different, yeah, so much, yeah. So much things. I will say that I'm going to do a little ass kissing, and you can just cut it out. You can edit it out later if you don't want. Chris was such a lost soul for a while, and this guy was like so. I'm going to talk to you guys about Chris.
Please,
if he's not here.
We do it
and,
all
and then, but he was so funny, and he would do stand up, and a really funny stand up, and he was a really good actor. As you know, we were in House of a Thousand Corpses together, of course. And funny and active, but never seemed to quite work. And then all of a sudden, this hosting magic kind of started happening. And it just all of a sudden, there's the birth of this legend. He's like, who's the guy who started the Beverly Hilton Mel with the tiki, what's it called?
Are you talking about Merv Griffin?
Merv Griffin. Mm-hmm. He's a Merv Griffin. Ooh. For 20-somethings, for the millennials.
Yeah, Merv Griffin was also Merv Griffin for 20-somethings. He had an appetite for...
What?
Uh-oh.
Hey.
The Brian Singer of his time.
Okay. You guys are going to get sued and shut down.
No. No, but... that's very... I appreciate that you... You know, because we... Rob Zombie just had his birthday party the other night.
Yes.
And I got as many House of a Thousand Corpse people in one picture. But did you stop by at all?
I couldn't go. I RSVP'd that I couldn't go, but I was invited. I wanted to let you know I was invited.
No, I appreciate that. I'm glad that you said that you were
because I wasn't Sherry invited me.
Yeah, and you were busy. You had other.
I was busy. Yeah.
Yeah, you had other birthday parties.
But they did ask me to come.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
I'm sure they asked you to come because why would
fine,
they?
You want to see the Evite? I'll pull
yeah,
it
I mean,
up.
Listen,
no,
okay.
We don't need to
Pixar
see the invite.
No. Let's do this.
I'm sure you did it. I'm sure you did.
I just feel like maybe if you had been invited, you probably would have shown up. But you know, if you don't,
Rain can't stop showing you things out of his wallet.
It's a nice wallet. I mean, it's really great. Okay, let's see your SAG card. Okay, you've got about $29.
$60 in there.
No, it's more than that. Oh, that's a 50.
I what? Got a 50.
Oh, oh, a 50?
Also, you guys, tweet about...
What?
Chipotle.
Yep.
And they'll send you a Chipotle card and you get
what?
A free burrito.
Now, does this only apply to celebrities?
You. That works for you. And Chris.
I think it would work for you guys.
Joan and I.
I am verified. So are you.
Yeah, but.
What if we shared a card?
But do you understand the relevance of Rainn Wilson's burrito card since this was the episode where Enjoy Your Burrito started?
Enjoy Your Burrito. Oh, it all comes around.
You know, the jealousy was what it really was. I wasn't able to see what was going on because I was jealous of his card.
He was blind about it.
Enjoy your Chipotle.
Enjoy your Chipotle burrito.
But have you had those...
I won't say this out loud, but it's a fancy country club card.
It's not a country club. It's the city of Calabasas Tennis and Swim Center.
All right, I was just trying to make
you
sound.
You just have to live in the area.
But it's really fancy.
$50 a month. And, yeah. Anyway. But if you ever want a burrito, let me know. Although it does have my name on it. Look at that.
Rainn Wilson's custom made.
That is pretty spectacular.
I get a burrito a day.
Rainn Wilson's custom made.
But do you ever have those sofritos there?
The sofritos. The vegetarian
ones. That makes me fart. Like,
yes!
The same with you?
It was delicious going in.
So delicious.
And then coming out,
a
lot of exhaust. A lot of exhaust.
It's like I know what fracking feels like.
I don't know if it's... yeah.
Wait,
I'm okay with this.
What are you doing now?
I'm just soaking it in. Don't worry about
it. You seem really angry, though.
What?
I'm not Jonah Ray wants his own burrito card.
I do want my own burrito card.
Okay.
Hey,
how
Chipotle.
I can do. I tweeted about Chipotle. In fact, I think I made fun of them. I think I said something like, Chipotle is people.
And they gave you a burrito
like
a day
a
for that?
Like a Soylent Green reference, and they gave me a free card. Yeah.
Let's figure it out. We'll craft the master Chipotle tweet.
We'll see what happens.
But
I was able
to get a picture with in one picture with Bill Moseley, Sid Haig, Jen Johnston, Rob and Sherry.
Fantastic.
And it was really fun. It was great to see them.
That's so great. I saw Aaron recently too. She has a couple babies.
Aaron Daniels.
Too. Yeah, they all they had lots of babies.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Everyone. Guys, we're all doing it. We're all doing it.
That's great. How was the party? Was it good?
It was fun. He had a Beatles band cover band there called the Fab Four, who were fucking fantastic.
Wait, they're like the premier Beatles cover band.
Yeah, Fab Four or the Fab Foe?
They were called the Fab. I thought they were called the Fab Four.
Okay,
and they were fucking fantastic. The only thing I wish to see in a Beatles cover band is I would have loved to have seen them evolve, like all of a sudden start to break up and then do solo and then do you know like do the different phases.
There's
of the
like
Beatles
four
like,
four acts.
Yeah,
you know,
like do an arc, which you could weave seamlessly.
There's a couple that do that. There's a couple of band and shows that do that.
I would love
to
see
Rain
that.
Does it. Not,
put on wigs at the end,
yeah.
Like for
yeah.
the roof concert and Let It Be.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, they all do costume changes. There's a couple of bands that I've
seen. You could get a Yoko stand-in to just glower in the corner.
Just yep. sit on George's amp.
I'm surprised Rob did that, though. I know he's a huge Monkees fan.
He loves Monkees, but he loves our old Beatles, too.
He does?
Yeah. But I don't know if there's a...
Was their Paul left-handed? I hate when their Paul's not left-handed.
Oh, I don't remember.
When I saw a Nirvana tribute band, I felt really disappointed that the bass player was wearing shoes. I was like, you can't wear shoes if you're going to be a Nirvana bass player. He always went shoeless.
Well, I don't know.
Shoeless Chris Novoselic is what they called him.
I don't know if there is a premier Monkees cover band.
I always wanted to be part of a cover Monkees. Band of a band. Oh, sorry. What was that?
Or saying it at the same time and then high-fiving with joy.
I walked all over
no
that
burrito
joke.
Car.
What was it?
We said we both. There's not a premier Monkees cover band. There is. They're called the Monkees.
That was the Sofritas of jokes.
It was great. They didn't play their own instruments in studio.
Now I have guests.
It's very impressive. I want to be a part of a cover band of a one-hit wonder band. So you really have one song to play. Like if you were a cover band of Chumbawamba.
Yeah, you could just play Tub Thumping always.
Yeah.
Would you play like a 30-minute version of it, or just play a 3-minute version of it and then go thank you, good night?
Yeah, I think you just play it over and over again.
Yeah, yeah, and act like it's always a different song, always have a different thing. It's like, well, we wrote this song in this time of our lives.
I get knocked down! I gotta get up again!
Hey, everybody, we're going to slow it down for a bit.
I get knocked down!
This song we wrote after a really hard time in the band.
I get knocked down!
So it's just different between Mike Banter. I like that. I'm on board. Don't they open and close with the Final Countdown?
Who, Asia?
Yeah.
Do they really?
Europe.
Or Europe?
Yeah. Don't they open and close with the Final Countdown? Yeah, okay.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I guess I would.
Europe and Asia should get together and play Africa by Toto. Wasn't that funny? It was a little funny.
Well done.
And then they should play Horse With No Name by America. Come on, guys.
Good, yeah. Good.
These are bands that are named after places.
Continents.
I get knocked down, and I get up again.
That was my harmony. What else is going on at Nerdist?
That's what that was.
Are we going to talk about something nerdy?
What do you want to talk about? Well, we're going to talk about Soul Pancake, too.
I don't know.
Do you want to talk?
Do we have to? I always talk about Soul Pancake.
We don't have to.
God, I hate that place.
Wait, no. You just said that on the microphone.
Unsubscribe. No. Soul Pancake. Unsubscribe. Just kidding.
Rain gets knocked down.
Hey.
Get up again.
No, Soul Pancake's going good. Yeah, it's going good. Doing a lot of stuff.
Because we stuck.
Cool.
I feel like Nerdist and Soul Pancake started around the same time.
Pretty much, yeah.
With one key difference, though. He had Oprah.
Yes.
And also amazing. I was always jealous of your dynamic back art. Like the art in the background, which your background art would change
every time
you load.
That was an amazing artist who lives in Austin now. His name's Mike Mitchell.
Mike Mitchell's great.
Yeah, you know
yeah,
him?
Yeah, I was just actually just emailing with him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a fantastic artist.
He loves all the nerdy comedy, Hollywood comic book fun,
juicy stuff. Does that pop art, like the very pop reference stuff, but then he can also just do these landscape. Like he's a very talented guy.
He can do anything.
Yeah, so to make
money.
He did
all the artwork for Nick Offerman's book. I don't know if you read that, which is a terrific book, by the way. It's really fun.
Yeah, you've seen a ton of his stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Friends with him somehow, and then he was an Office fan. I'm like, and then he was an early Soul Pancake fan, and we just somehow corralled him to do a bunch of free artwork for us.
Well, what really sort of nerdy shit do you want to talk about? Are you reading any comic books? Are you playing any games? Are you playing games with your
I'm playing Wolfenstein: The New Order.
Oh yeah, how is it?
He's the only one. It's great. Do you remember Castle Wolfenstein?
Castle Wolfenstein.
Stein.
I always said Wolfenstein.
I say Wolfenstein. Isn't that how the Germans say it?
Well,
Stein. Marschnell.
The goal of beating that game is so you don't have to say it the way Germans say it.
Whatever it's called, I'm really enjoying it. My son plays Destiny. I play Destiny.
Oh, you play Destiny? Yeah. Do you like it?
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah,
how
it's
old
cool.
is Walter
it's
now?
It's kind of like Halo. It's like Halo with juicy
graphics. With a little bit of an RPG element to it. How old is Walter now?
He's 10 years old.
Damn!
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And he watches those Minecraft videos.
Of course he does.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. These people. It's unbelievable. He'll watch hour after hour. We don't let him watch it. But every day he'll watch like two or three of these 10-minute videos. This guy, Stampy. And they each one has like 5 million views.
Yeah. You ever
and he's just like, oh, and it's an English guy, and he's like, oh, look, I'm in the Minecraft world, and look, I got a diamond sword. I'm gonna convert it over here. Oh, look, I'm gonna jump over here, and there's someone as an archer, well, there's an undead
you gotta
person.
See, you got to see the South Park episode where Stan's little brother is basically what's the Canadian.
Ike.
Where, Ike is basically just was doing that. He's watching other people play video games.
Right.
And all of Ike's friends are making fun of Stan and his friends for being too old because they want to play video games instead of just watch people play video games. And then so Cartman starts his own channel where he's narrating stuff that happens with the South Park crew. And he gets a ton of subscribers.
Yeah, I don't understand that watching other people. He would rather do that than play Minecraft.
That was a lot of growing up playing video games, though, was watching your friends waiting for your turn. So maybe there's something.
But you had to. You were forced to. I don't know why. I mean, I can only think now that it's actually – it's less work to watch someone else do it.
Yeah.
You know, like rather than – you know, because playing a game can be stressful because you have to make choices, and choices can be stressful. And making bad choices
is stressful.
So we
have a generation of people incapable of making choices.
Yes, that's right. And they're also not empathetic, so everything's fucked. Everything's completely fucked.
I feel so old. I feel like grandpa nerd.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, you are wearing this hat.
I'm almost 49.
What?
And I'm like grandpa nerd. Here's like the oldest, nerdiest guy you've had.
Well, you have to be super...
We had Dr. Demento on.
Yeah, how about that? You should be a little...
Weird Al's a little older than me, too.
Weird Al's sure 51 or 2. Maybe 52.
Something like that.
He looks great, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, he's vegetarian.
Yep. Vegetarian.
Is that it? Does that do it?
Apparently.
You know, I'll tell you what.
Does he have the sofritas? We need to ask him about the sofritas.
Wait a minute.
So sofritas allow you to shit out all of your...
Come on in, corporate masters.
Johnny Pachotle. Pachotle. It's patchouli flavored Chipotle.
Johnny Pachotle.
Johnny Pachotle.
I love
God
that.
Damn.
Hey, Johnny Pachotle. Hey, look at this guy.
Okay, so Johnny Pachotle is a trust fund hippie Guido kid.
I'm Johnny Pachotle. I wanted to have a really unique Mexican restaurant, but I didn't quite want to name it after my last name, which is Pachotle.
My father's from Brooklyn, but my mom's from Haight-Ashbury.
Johnny Pachotle, all of his personalities are represented by the cast of Entourage. Just each one. This is a different aspect.
Entourage movie.
It's coming, guys.
Opening night.
Turtles back.
Woo. Hey, guys. So I cross-mix Pitbull and Sarah McLachlan. It's fucking
I like Johnny.
Cross-mix. It's a mashup, Christopher.
It's a cross-mix.
It's a cross-mix.
Yep.
Sarah McLachlan was your pull for that. That's funny to me.
What? Sort of a... No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. All right, you know what? I'm sorry. I would like to withdraw that. It should have been Pitbull and Fish.
There you go.
All right, thanks.
There you go.
That's better? Is that better? Does that make more sense?
No, your first one was way better.
Yeah. First one was way better?
Yeah. Right. Fish is kind of an easy target.
All right.
Yeah.
String cheese.
They're very hard to catch.
Mo? You can go with Mo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mo? That's jam band territory.
Are you feeling... Are you feeling like cranky old nerd?
Am I feeling like a cranky old nerd?
Yeah.
I'm getting a little crankier as I get older. I'm definitely doing more of like the, these young people.
Well, they are irritating, Rain.
Aren't
they? To be honest, they're very self-centered.
They're like millennials are the worst.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Walter technically a millennial? Or
no, because there's another generation under the millennials. I don't think they've named them yet.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah, millennials like till...
Millennials
like 82 to like...
83 and 84, I think is what they're saying.
Yeah.
When I was graduating from high school.
What do you think has changed? What is it? What does it bother you about these goddamn kids?
Oh man, are you gonna seriously? You're gonna have me speak to that? I'm gonna be reviled by like millions. This is your target
audience.
They're
not gonna listen to this. It takes effort.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah. They're not watching us play video games. So that crowd isn't gonna listen.
They're gonna hear the
2-hour
recap.
I don't know. I don't know that anything's really. All the generations. My generation, Generation X. There's just a bunch of tuned out generation that have no idea what's going on in the world, or doing anything to make the world a better place. And your podcast and your obsession with video games and movies and just mindless entertainment.
Helping.
is not helping.
Oh, well,
one
that's not
bit.
Where I thought you were going with that.
No,
I thought you were
so
going to say
I was
that we
coming
were
in here
doing nothing
to actually
but
tear this
helping.
Place down. Burn this down to the ground.
I can't believe we didn't see all those cans of gasoline he brought in. Like, how did he get? No wonder. No wonder.
I thought they were presents.
He had to carry those all the way from Lot E.
They were in Chipotle bags. That's why.
Quick, Johnny Pacioli, throw me a match.
Hey.
Hey.
You could learn to make fire with a couple of sticks and a flint.
No, I don't know. I don't. Everyone's cool. We just got to do our best, right? I
yeah,
don't know.
Everyone's just trying their best.
Yeah.
Were you happy when the office ended? Were you ready to move on?
I was very ready to move on. Yeah. So it was truly one of these amazing experiences, and I think anyone in the cast would back me up. Everyone was so grateful for every year we had on that show. It was an amazing ensemble. Like, there's not more love in the room than the office cast in that office together. And at the same time, after 200 episodes, we were ready to be done. Everyone was really ready to be done and totally grateful for what we had during that run. So,
But of course, people still yell Dwight at you when you're walking down the street.
Dwight!
Right?
Yes, constantly.
Which supplanted Fishboy,
that's why I'm doing
a
new TV show, so maybe they'll shout, Backstrom!
Backstrom!
at me as I walk down the street.
What if they yell Dwight, or do you go, no, I'm Backstrom? Like, you respond with
no,
whatever the current
Backstrom!
Character. Whatever the current character is.
I think I'm going to pay a really like hip millennial, like Jonah or somebody, to walk around with
hey,
me.
Technically, and, like, I am not a millennial. That's a millennial.
It's true.
And walk around with me and like be like really down so someone goes like, hey, Dwight. And he goes, no, he's Backstrom yeah. now.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, that really cool millennial's endorsing his new TV show.
Which is what he would, what the person, the shouter yeah. would say out loud to his friends.
Oh, well, he's got a really cool millennial with them, yeah. so we should probably see what this Backstrom yeah. business is
he
all about.
He said it's V good. He didn't even say very.
Kyle's a millennial. He could help you out there.
Yeah.
you're the cool one.
Is that a millennial thing? Because that's the... That with the wink?
Was it cool to have the job?
No.
Yes.
Oh. You're going to be his hype millennial.
Yeah.
It's basically
but you learned that from the Fantastic Mr. Fox, because you were probably in fifth grade when that came out, right?
I was older than that.
I don't know.
Came out fifth and a half ago. Grade. That's such He's a lovely this movie. Old. I love that movie so much.
I yeah, do too.
It's good.
The Fantastic Mr. What are you watching? What are you watching right now?
What am I watching? I'm watching Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
No.
Not on
yet.
Netflix?
Everyone's going crazy for it.
I really like it, yeah. He's that guy from 28 Days Later.
Yep. Cillian Murphy?
Cillian Murphy is the lead, and he is like a young Al Pacino in Godfather 2. Like, it's a really cool crime saga.
Is Johnny Pacioli in it?
Johnny Pacioli is producing it.
Okay, good.
With his Chipotle money. So he's like, yeah. he's like kind of Papa John's, kind of, you know, he's involved in that same way.
Nice.
How creepy is Papa John, by the way?
Do we have this conversation on the podcast or off the podcast? I think we had
Can
it
we
at dinner
this?
The other night. Did we?
I don't know.
Well, I don't remember.
Just about how, first of all, Papa John looks like a Batman villain, like the way that Clayface was made. Like, he fell into a vat of pizza dough and became a supervillain. And fucking, like, watching the commercial with Peyton Manning and Joe Montana, where I go... These are the best takes. Like, they probably shot for
shot
96
days.
Hours.
Yes.
These are the best takes.
That's the best they can
hey,
get.
Hey, don't wait up for me, Joe. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
yeah.
These guys, Peyton Manning and Joe Montana, have both been doing commercials for a while.
I think that Papa John probably directs those commercials.
Does he?
Yeah, he does.
Probably
like,
does from his vintage Camaro.
Like, I think that's, yeah. those are great. His skin is the color of your brick.
Yeah.
It's the orangey brick.
That whole thing is so strange to me. Those yeah. commercials are so...
He looks like he eats people. Can we... can you
are you
say
expecting
that?
Him... Do you want to get a Papa John's card now? Because that's almost how you got the Chipotle.
I would not be surprised if I got a Papa John's card. Because they're like, hey, any kind of advertising is good. Really,
except for
the card
John.
They give you is just for unlimited garlic sauce.
Yeah, I'd take it.
Papa John's like, what's wrong with garlic sauce? I take it every morning.
Is that what how about okay, here's an idea. I bathe my skin in it. What's
it has rejuvenation properties.
Could you what about pizza? Here's an idea for Papa John's. Pizza with breadsticks in it.
What?
So
wait, where are these breadsticks?
Breadstick pizza.
Where are these breadsticks?
No,
but Pizza Hut did that, I thought. I thought Pizza Hut did like breadstick pizza crust.
They did.
But no, guys, here's what it is in my mind.
Okay.
It's a pizza, and like the slices of the pizza, the spokes are the bread.
In between every slice, there's
a pizza wheel. Yes. There's a breadstick in between. Yes. Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, that's not a bad idea.
You make one pizza, then you put a layer of breadsticks, then you put another pizza on top of that.
So that's like Chicago style.
That's not
like
a bad
you're making
idea
a pie.
Either.
Yeah,
you're making a pie.
What about a crustless pizza that's only cheese?
Well, then you're just eating cheese.
Yeah.
That sounds, that's like the,
you're just
the
eating a piece
you call
of cheese.
It like the ultimate cheese pizza.
But you're literally just eating
there's no crust. There's no sauce.
You're just eating a piece of
Papa John's cheese. Charcuterie and formaggia.
With a giant slice of cheese.
It's just a wheel of melted Parmesan, and every pizza costs $600 because that's how much aged
isn't
Parmesan
that
costs.
Kind of.
I think if you, I just imagine like as soon as they go, okay, cut. Then a bunch of like weird little golem-like creatures come over, like William S. Burroughs, like mugwumps, just come over and start sucking off the pores of Papa John's skin for nutrients.
That's where the garlic sauce comes from.
They just bring
the women. I got to make more garlic sauce.
They just put like there's like a jam of spigot in the side of them, and it just gloops
thing is
out.
That those commercials must be working because they've been getting more and more and more, especially during football games. And yeah. I think that people must be going like, those commercials are awesome. Look at that pizza, looks good. I love Peyton Manning. That Papa John's is so charming. Let's order some pizzas. Yeah. It must be working.
Better ingredients.
Yeah. He hates healthcare.
I mean,
that's why people want to support him.
Yeah. Well, I think
it's all that money he's saving. That's why he's funding it himself. He's saving so much money.
I think the commercials, I think, are very on par with the experience of the pizza, where you're like, it doesn't make me feel great, but it's oddly entertaining. You know what I mean? Like it's
if you had to choose though, out of the fast food pizza places, what would you go to? You see them all: Domino's, Pizza Hut, Papa John's, Little Caesars. Which one do you go to?
Going to the Hut.
Going to the Hut?
Going to
the Hut. No, it's the worst.
Going to the
Hut. That's the worst. Do you know that they don't make that? I once ordered at Pizza Hut. I was like, can I get a extra large pepperoni or something like that? And they're like, oh, we're out of extra large.
That's scary.
Because, and I was like, well, what are you talking about?
How do you run out of a size?
You take the dough and you make it.
Yeah.
They have pre-cut doughs, and then they don't put it in a pizza oven. It's a conveyor belt. Did you know this?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know this?
Like, yeah,
it's a conveyor
belt. Like a bagel toaster?
So they take a frozen thing out, they put whatever ingredients out, and they put it on a conveyor belt, and it goes under like a Quiznos sandwich heater, a really extra long one, and it comes out the end.
They always run out of extra large first.
That's good for slices. That's good for heating up slices. I'll take it that way. But not an entire pizza. That's like fucking Back to the Future
2 shit. I just have
good memories of Pizza Hut from the lovely Book It program. When I was a kid, you'd read a book, you get a free personal pan pizza.
First place ever seen dessert pizza?
I always like the first couple pieces of a Pizza Hut pizza, but then I like the dough is kind of old. Like then I always feel like
they have they have a whole new menu, and they have bacon stuffed crust, and there's also a pretzel crust that I'm interested in trying. A pretzel crust.
Well, you know, close to breadstick pizza.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I do. There's a Little Caesars commercial which fucking cracks me up.
Oh, I didn't even think Little Caesars was in this game.
I said Little Caesars.
Oh, I'm sorry.
On the list.
I'm sorry.
The commercial where the guy's like, we're going off the grid, and then he and his family are like in this cabin, and they all have like his kid's playing a video game, and then he knocks it out of his hand, and then they go off the grid, and the kid's just like playing with rocks, and the guy, and she goes, you know, we could have just gotten Little Caesar's pizza online. He's like, we're going back on the grid, and he knocks the rocks out of the kid's hand. The guy's really funny. And
I can't wait for your Little Caesar's card to come in the
mail. I'm not going
to
get any sort of Little Caesar's. You know, they're going to say, I'm sorry, we're not going to send you a card. And I'm going to say, et tu, Brute? Come on, guys.
Nice.
It's two. Pizza.
Because,
that's good.
Yeah.
Caesar.
Yep.
I like Little Caesars.
Yeah.
We're going to go stab the pizza on the steps of the Senate on March 15th.
Great job, Chris.
With our faces.
President of the Latin Club over here. President of the Classics Club.
We got that.
Would have killed.
That was the subtext.
Would have killed at Regis Jesuit High School. Latin Club.
The entire school would have enjoyed that, or just the specific club
Okay, well, now you're just mincing words.
Okay, all
okay.
Right,
that's fine. You know, it's a small school, Jonah. So, you know, if 20 kids would have liked it, or 12 to be more accurate.
How many kids were in the Latin club?
Seven.
So seven kids would have laughed at that.
You were president of seven kids?
You were in the Latin club, not just the Latin class?
Yeah, I was president.
See, you couldn't
Latin
get
club.
Enough of the Latin in the class, and you wanted to have a club after school to do even more Latin.
Yeah, I was the consul, was the technical name of.
You were the consul?
Consul was the head of the.
I think I got you beat, though. I was in the pottery club.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was three of us.
What did you do in the pottery club besides make pottery?
That's it.
Did you actually make pottery, or was it just a place to hang out?
No, we made pottery. Sometimes we'd have clay fights.
Yep.
Yeah, you just throw clay at each other. It's fun.
I was in the weather club.
Fuck that.
I was in the paint drying club.
Boom.
You were in the what?
In the paint drying club. I'm just because yeah. It's so boring.
Okay. Yeah.
No, literally.
The explanation was even better. Just, you know why? Because my favorite thing about that was that the execution of the initial joke was great. But did you hear what I said? I said the paint drying club because
I wouldn't have said it. He asked me to repeat it.
What did you do? At the weather club.
Oh, I'm sure they like checked the barometers.
Did you go outside and
we got together and we talked about weather. We had a science teacher, Mr. Sobeck, who was a real big weather file. He would explain.
There's got to be a technical term for a weather file. Could someone write that down in the comment section below?
50 to 60% of the classes were about, I'm from Massachusetts, so it was about the tornado that touched down in Worcester, Massachusetts, like 40 years previously, because he had lived through that.
Giving Worcester its name.
It was always, no. No.
Thank you, Jonah.
No. No. It was always about his experiences in the tornado.
Oh, I'm glad you told us about your boring club so Chris can make that joke.
That's what this podcast is all about.
I was in one club that I started. I started a bowling club.
The Kanakaleki Club?
Yeah, no. You're very offensive towards Hawaiians, Chris. I started a bowling club, and then I went to one of the first session. Everyone signed up. We had the teacher. We went to go bowling, and then I was like, this fucking sucks, and I never went again.
That's a terrible story.
Speaking of
why?
Chris,
because you didn't stay in your club.
I didn't like any of the kids that joined.
Speaking of him being offensive towards Hawaiians, he didn't want to call the last Hostful podcast Kalani because he thought people would see it and think it was a guest they'd never heard of.
True. People would be like, well, I don't know who Kalani is, so I'm not going to listen to this. I know she's like the Hawaiian Kesha.
It's a man's name.
I'm sorry.
It gets better every time we mention a name.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
Chris hates Hawaii.
I don't. I love Hawaii.
Sure,
I love
you do.
Hawaii and the gender neutral names that you guys have. I think it's very forward thinking.
It's not gender neutral.
Kalani is, you know,
it's a very masculine name. it's got a ka in it. Kamehameha. Yeah. Kalani.
Yep.
Kaipo.
Okay.
Fuck you.
I am overjoyed.
I love Hawaii. I think I'm gonna go to Hawaii in February.
Which island?
I'm gonna go to Kauai. Have you been to Kauai?
Yes.
It's a good island.
Garden Island.
It's a really good island.
Why don't you go in May? We'll go
south,
together.
North or south side?
Well, totally I'd probably go. Yeah, totally different experience. I don't know, actually.
You can go midway, and then you can go up or down.
Well, I thought Kauai was divided east and west because there's no the road doesn't connect all the way.
It's the North Shore, though. I think still
the North
that's
Shore,
the
North Shore on the east side of the island,
yes.
Though. Like that's where like the Princeville is, and then the west side is where it's all where it never rains.
Yeah.
It's like super dry, and in the middle of the island is where it's like super, super wet.
Leeward side, they call it. Leeward side.
Wait, how are you going to go? Do we have a week off in February? I don't know about
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the week after Valentine's Day.
We keep having hiatus weeks I don't know about.
A week in February, a week in March.
Great.
Are you done shooting Backstrom?
I'm done shooting it.
Well, what are you doing now with your days?
I'm just hanging out.
Nice.
You guys.
Just promoting Backstrom.
Promoting things and
did you go to the TCAs?
Out? What?
Did you go to the TCAs?
They're on Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah. That's so fun. For people who don't know, the Television Critics Association is a thing for TV actors where you go to a giant hotel in Pasadena that's filled with television critics. And they are the craziest people on earth. And they really are.
I think they're really nice and they do an exceptional job.
Well, wait, what is it? What, like, is it?
But it's so weird because you'll wander around and some guy will come up like, hi, My name's Bert Ivy, and I'm the television critic from the Dayton Times, and I want to talk to you about, you know. And
is it like a convention for them?
Yeah, they're just, there's hundreds of them milling about.
But what's really interesting is that the network's
milling about.
But there's just hundreds of them milling about.
No,
and scoot, get back to your computers.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. People might read reviews for movies. No one reads reviews for television shows. Are you kidding me?
No, people read recaps for television shows.
Yeah.
Well, here's the, but.
In newspapers, Chris?
It's also like.
You're being strangely diplomatic here.
That's what, doesn't sound diplomatic.
Calling you out,
that's where. That's where they let people know what's coming in the television seasons. But the TCAs are really interesting because the networks will kind of do these, you know, like semi-elaborate presentations.
Yeah, lavish spread.
And so you come out, and so it feels like you're performing for a room of people and talking for a moment, but everyone's on their laptop, and it's not rude. That's just what they do. They're writing.
Yeah.
Like they're, and so.
But I'm more talking about the party afterward, that party thing.
Yeah.
You know, where you mill with them. You mill about with them. For hours.
I think you just have.
You've never invited to that. No. That's why you haven't experienced.
Your agent's
that.
Not good enough to get you
it's
out of
it. Very strange. It's very strange. And I guarantee you, every single one of them are going to ask me. So if Dwight met Backstrom in a fight, who would win? That's,
you know,
that's
okay,
the kind
so
of
that,
question they're going
to
ask me.
That's where you have an opportunity to be like. Well, Dwight would walk in and say, like, hey, I really admire your work. And Backstrom would be like, hey, you look really nice. And then you could just like you could paint this really sordid. Scene where they
make love,
just fuck the shit out of each other, and you do both voices and both characters. Yeah. Like, oh, just fucking slide it in, like the whole thing, and
that's
then
hysterical.
No one will ever ask you again. What would it be like if this?
What if
character
I did
that?
What if I wrote it up ahead of time? Yeah. So it's like almost
I'm
like a fan fiction kind of thing, yes. And I'll just have a sheaf of it. Anytime anyone asks me about a Dwight meeting Backstrom question. I'm serious. You know what? I'm gonna do this.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
don't
do
even,
it.
Like, don't
I'm gonna
answer.
Hand them the erotic story. Yeah.
And
of
then,
Dwight and
then
Backstrom.
Whatever you're working on at the time, you can just update. You can just autofill,
sure.
Replace, yeah. Find and replace Backstrom with whatever.
Are you saying that Backstrom's going to get canceled?
I mean, in 10 years from now when you guys are in syndication.
No, I think it would just turn into a three-way and then an orgy and then whatever character he's playing, they're all going to fuck.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
I think it's a fun idea.
Do you have like a large television critics audience for this podcast? Because you're
I don't
being
know.
Very gentle on the television critics.
No, I've never
I thought you
never
would
had
pounce
a
on Chris your
is,
normal.
Chris is gentle on everyone but Hawaiians.
I've never.
He really hates
they
Hawaiians.
They take it. They've been through a lot.
I've never had a bad experience there because people will go and it throws them off because they'll crack jokes on stage. And the crowd does almost never reacts. And they're
right.
Like, oh, what? And then they start to get a little aggro with the crowd. And it's like, yeah, but they're not there. They're
yeah, they're taking notes
there for that.
And they're blogging.
They're right.
And,
they're
yeah.
Basically working. So I've only ever had fun there. I've actually only ever had fun at the – and I, honestly, if I'd had a bad experience there, I promise you I would talk about it. But I haven't. Not had a bad experience at the
TCA. It's just a very uncomfortable thing to mill around with television critics. That's all. It's just uncomfortable.
Because are you afraid you might like kind of say something shitty or come off aloof and then they'll...
I'm not trying to be like Mr. Diva, like, oh, I wouldn't fraternize with that. I'm not talking about that
at
all.
No, but like you might come off poorly towards them and then they'll write something shitty about you.
No, I think it's more for him and I'm going to speak for him. I think
Please.
It's more that he's just these kind of... awkward television
critics. Why don't you finish your thought yourself?
Think
no,
that
no.
People are... That they. They're doing a job that, for all intents and purposes, should not really exist. It's television.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah. So you're spending an inordinate amount of time at a party talking to people whose jobs really shouldn't exist.
Right.
Newspapers, right? Hey, newspaper editors, you're listening right now. You're trying to save money. It's a dying art. Cancel your television departments. Just do it. Fire all your television critics.
Now, I just want to say I couldn't disagree with Rain more. I find that television critics are the lifeblood.
I take back that hug.
Of the of
yep, Rain's
the
gotten
industry.
Up to take back the hug.
Okay, we can take back the hug.
Let's see. Oh,
it's really happening.
There we go.
It's really
matching
happening.
Up again. A
again.
Reversal.
Again.
Rain. Back the
a shockwave of
a
distrust out of that.
Whose dead
one?
Dog is there?
That's
there's a dead dog in
what dead dog?
On a bed.
Oh my god, I do that all the time. My dog's so old, there's so many times I'm like
Oh god.
Could you just like hold your hand in front of their nose to make sure they're still breathing?
Hold up a mirror piece of glass.
And then the dog sees itself for the first time and has an existential crisis.
Whoa.
That's heavy stuff.
It's taken us into philosophy because rain. The first time you were on, it was very philosophical.
It was very. It was like religion and faith and.
We talked about 9/11.
Did we really?
We did.
Wow.
Yeah, we did.
How the fuck do you remember that?
I just remember pieces of it. We were in my old house.
Yeah.
And like you joked at the beginning, that's where we learned that you do not eat on an audio podcast.
I remember telling you guys not to eat on an audio podcast.
You did. You said, we shouldn't do that. And we didn't eat much.
Wait, and cookies, I also remember, right? And it's always been one of our favorite moments of the podcast.
Oh, shit, that's
where,
right.
Where Matt Myra goes, well, when you came on 6 Feet Under, I stopped watching, and you go, who the fuck is this guy?
True story.
Oh, man.
It wasn't. I didn't stop watching because rain came on.
That's when we first realized that Matt can be a loose cannon sometimes. You're like, oh, my God, I thought he was fine.
He was on the weather club.
It's almost like having a pit bull where you're like, you know, the dog's fine. He won't bite you. And then it nips you. And you're like, oh, my God, I didn't know. He's never done that before. I'm so sorry.
Shoot from the hip, guys. I just say what I'm thinking.
What did you mean by that?
No, what I meant by that was I had watched the show regularly at the time. I worked in a funeral home, as I had explained. And Rain's character showed up right at about the time where I had just sort of stopped watching.
Okay. But you purposely made it sound like, oh, I stopped watching after you came on. I think that was almost a direct quote.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at the transcript.
It was the best response.
Who is this guy?
Like, I feel like he's here to talk to you, his friend. And then there's these two other guys hanging out. One of them.
What are they doing here? This is a very different dynamic, though, I will say, from my experience. 3 years ago? 4 years ago?
Almost five years ago? Yeah,
almost
four, 5 years
four
ago, yeah.
4 years ago. Four and a half, like,
because before it was like, oh, you're talking to Chris Hardwick. Now it's like, you guys are shooting the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We try to
make it comfortable. You guys have gotten
cocky. After 600.
That's true, I have. Well, yeah. I'm not the one with his fucking disgusting feet up on the fucking table that we're
you
all
know,
sitting around.
I just like to be comfortable.
Tweet that.
Times. Oh, wait, no, I should
yeah, get everybody in there.
I think a big thing was, like, we didn't talk much just because, like, Chris, you know, the original guest. Chris,
I think what Jonah's trying to say is that I don't know.
He had a personal connection with everybody. So it was kind of like you guys had a rapport already from working on House of a Thousand Corpses, and we're just kind of his friends, and, you know, we just met you. So there's a lot of times where we don't feel comfortable to talk in those situations just because it's like I don't want to step on
anyone. I'm glad you feel comfortable now.
Yes, you waved at me at a pavement show.
I remember.
Yeah. It was like shortly after that podcast. I remember just seeing you. Like,
yeah,
you're mad dogging me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. That was a great show.
Is that a good thing, mad dogging?
I think that's mad dogging.
Yeah.
Is that like when a pit bull bites you?
I think that's when the singer pit bull bites you.
We had a pit bull rescue that bit my son on the ear. Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Because you want to be like, they're good dogs.
You had to put the dog down?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's like you can't. Yeah, you just can't mess around with that.
Can't bite a baby.
Yeah.
Because they have a taste for blood.
Because we've rescued a lot of pit bulls, my wife and I. So, but this one was a little bit. I mean, he was on medication. He had...
he was going through
seizures.
Shit, man.
No, he had seizures. What's that when you had seizures?
Epilepsy.
He had epilepsy. There's a pit bull with epilepsy. So he's on all this medication and stuff like that. And then he was like asleep and my son sat down on him or something like that, and he just kind of went arr, like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a vicious attack. It was just
I mean, like, my dog's
snap.
Like done that at certain times where someone, like, you know, grabs her and you know, they, like, and there's a, you know, she's just not expecting it, or like she's tired, or like she's hungry, and she'll kind of snap back. And one time she actually clipped a friend of ours.
I do find it kind of shitty to be if you're just an animal, if you're just a dog or a cat living your life. And you're they don't know it, but they live a submissive life. Like they're subs, and so you can literally just pick them up whenever you fucking want to.
Yeah.
So can you imagine if you were? Imagine if your landlord, whenever it came over to your apartment, decided to pick you up whenever they felt like it.
Yeah.
You know, you could be cranky about that sometimes.
Yeah, it's a bummer. And then, like, if you have a mouthful of razor sharp teeth, and you just happen to swing it back, you might clip somebody.
You might
face.
Clip someone there. Yeah.
What about this animal? We're having a little issues with this little animal.
What's this little animal?
And that's not my wife that I'm talking about in this photo.
Did you get a donkey?
Well, take a look at its legs, though. What's on the legs, Chris?
Take a look at its legs.
Oh, my God. Is that a zonkey?
Yes.
That's crazy. Oh.
I own a motherfucking
really?
Zonkey, bro.
That's
Where do you keep it?
In our backyard. We're zoned for zonkies. You want to see it?
Oh, wow.
That's rad.
Isn't that cool?
Where did you get the donkey?
Here's the thing. The reason I'm bringing this up, I'm not trying to brag, is that he's got some dominance. He's a big male buck zonkey, and he's like kind of territorial. And he's my wife is really great with him, and he's totally submissive to her. But he started rebelling against me, Chris.
To try to move in?
Yeah. No. I tried to go feed him, and then he was like giving me sass.
What? Shit.
He was giving me sass.
He was giving you ass?
And ass, because that's how they get dominant, is they'll kind of swing, like, you put the food down, and they'll, like, swing their butts towards you like that. Like, hey, watch it, I'll kick you.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And so how do you get a zonkey under control?
You do it the same way you do horses. You kind of, like...
shoot them.
You got to do some dominance exercises. So you you scare them, and kind of, you go like this with your arms, and make yourself really big.
And but then what if that just opens? You have to get kicked really hard in the chest.
But they won't really do that, because it's kind of a dance. It's like an ancient dance between man and animal.
Okay.
What other exotic animals do you own?
We own...
Because you can't own a beast.
Iguanki.
Really? Iguana monkey?
No, an iguanki.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a donkey iguana.
Okay. Oh, okay. Good.
That's if the father's an iguana and the mother's a donkey.
Yeah.
You know, I was really excited.
We own an Ella, an elog,
mm-hmm.
elephant dog.
That can actually happen if two consensual donkeys are using an iguana as a marital aid. then one can actually accidentally get pregnant and produce.
that didn't go over very well.
Joel looked really
They
unhappy.
Laugh at like everything, but they didn't.
You know
laugh
what?
At that.
That's fine. You know why?
Because I get knocked down.
Hey, get up again. Get me down. It's in
the night. We're the Tub Thumpers, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming out to our show.
We're gonna thump some tubs and take some names.
And this is in respect to our Chumbawamba, the band that we emulate and love so much. We're the Tub Thumpers. And now for our next song. I get knocked down, and I get up again.
It was so great opening for our semisonic cover band.
Yeah. No, they would have to close.
Closing time.
You're right, I was wrong.
Do you remember the band Trip Shakespeare, anybody? I've been thinking about them recently.
I do, but I can't remember what
their
song was.
The guy Dan Wilson from Semisonic, who then writes all these big pop songs now. The guy from Semisonic is a big songwriter who writes all these big hit songs, right?
Yeah.
For like Taylor Swift
uh-huh.
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then before Semisonic, he was in this band, the psychedelic Minneapolis band called Trip Shakespeare.
Shit.
With his brother. That is so cool. It's like Queen meets Cream meets, it's punky and there's some Prince and fun, really funky.
Well, that's
cool
good
stuff.
Because Closing Time makes me want to stitch tits onto my chest and then rip them off. Like, I fucking hate that song so much. I worked in radio and
I remember K Rock.
After K Rock, yeah, right after K Rock, I worked at the station called Y107 and it was. That was when that's when
Y107? Because Chris Hardwick's on the air.
Yeah. Why no more 107? Because Chris Hardwick's on the air. Closing time.
That's funny because I stopped listening to Y107 as soon as you started becoming a DJ.
See, it happens.
Callbacks on a podcast work good.
I heard John Bryan cover Closing Time once, and it was great. So well, I think it's a good song.
John Bryan's
did you
amazing.
See the Office episode with Closing Time that we did the whole thing about it with Ed
no.
Helms singing it? It was really good.
Now Chris stopped watching when you showed up on the Office. Which means he never
Chris
saw
stopped
it.
Watching when Ed Helms showed up on The Office, which was season 2.
No, we stopped, let's see. I think we stopped watching after Web Soup did an Office parkour sketch, and then it showed up on The Office 3 months later.
Oh.
Shots
wait
fired.
A minute.
Boo earns.
Did it really?
Yeah.
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 Wow.
Eerily similar, but I'm sure it was just cosmic unconsciousness.
Wow.
Plate of shrimp.
Yeah.
That's the real reason you're here, Rainn Wilson.
Boom.
To answer for your show's sins.
Okay, we stole it.
Yes.
Okay, we stole it from Web Soup, which I've never even heard of before. What is that?
This doesn't feel the way I thought it would. I don't feel fulfilled at all.
You guys also stole a lot from the British Office.
What? How dare you?
It's really strong. You flipped this desk. So what are you going to do with the rest of your day?
I got to do some voiceover work for the Backstrom. I got to do some lines. Got to fill in some ADR lines.
Dialogue replacement.
And then I'm going to play tennis with my friend, and then I got therapy.
Is your friend the zonkey? You're going
to
play tennis with
the
zonkey?
You're going to use that card to go play some tennis at Calabasas?
Oh, good. No.
What are you going to talk about in therapy?
Yeah, I got a lot to work through tonight.
Got some stuff today. Yeah. Today's a day.
Yeah. No, I'm feeling good. Feeling good.
Good.
Yeah, I got a light day today. I got a light day.
That's good.
Yeah. What are you going to do today? Are you doing At Midnight?
We're doing At Midnight.
I'm doing that on Wednesday with you.
I know. I'm very excited.
Yeah. They sent me over some list of some things to talk about on it, but I don't know. I don't know.
What did we send you?
I don't know. Some list of like topics or some things or something like that?
I cannot imagine we would already know what they would be.
Yeah.
Oh, unless it's the games, the mini games.
Could be the mini games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I haven't seen it yet.
And then, so when does Backstrom start?
22nd.
The 22nd of
January. Yeah.
What do you want to...
What night of the week are you guys on?
Thursday nights, 9. That's good. FOX Network. Yeah.
Nice. I went to watch. This is a plea to the Fox Network. I went to the Backstrom site on Fox to watch the trailer, and they ran an ad before the trailer. Now, if you're trying to convince people to watch your show,
that is bullshit.
Don't put an ad before the trailer. Like the trailer is the thing you want.
You just wanted to watch the trailer. You just wanted to watch the trailer.
Yes, and
the trailer is the ad.
And I got a pre-roll. I got a pre-roll of a product. I got a pre-roll.
Was it
a 15-second
Papa
pre-roll.
John's ad?
It was not Papa John's.
It was Chipotle.
Pachotle.
Pachotle.
I think Papa John. I think his name is Johnny Pachotle.
Oh,
oh my God!
Now it all makes sense.
Johnny Pachotle. Is that the robot? Now it all makes sense.
It all makes sense now.
Automated dialogue recording.
What do you guys want to talk about now?
I don't know. We're almost
done.
How
long do these podcasts go?
We're at 55 minutes.
Oh, my God. What do we want to talk about?
In the last couple
minutes?
I don't
feel like I talked about enough nerdy stuff.
Well, pick something that you want to talk about.
I don't know. I don't know, man.
You want to talk about
you want to talk about music? What do you want? What are you digging
This is your platform right now to talk about whatever types of things you want.
I don't have anything.
Are you excited for the new Star Wars? Are you reading any? Is there any manga that you like?
I don't read manga. I'm excited for the new Star Wars.
How excited?
More excited. When I saw the trailer, I orgasmed and cried at the same time.
Did it do anything for you, the trailer?
I loved the trailer.
It was weird.
No, here's what I loved about the trailer. It was like, oh, it's like the first three movies. It's like 4, 5, and 6. That's why the trailer was like, it had that vibe. I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Such
yeah.
minimal CGI
right,
stuff.
Right, right, right.
I was like, it's never going to be as good as the first two movies.
Yeah.
And people need to know that, right? Mm-hmm. We need to know that deep in our bones.
Not just from a filmmaking, it's not just that it's a filmmaking perspective. It's just that you seeing it for the first time as a child, nothing can match that experience.
Yeah. No. But also the filmmaking too, because those are two perfect movies.
Yeah.
I've watched them now. I saw them 20 times on my own, and now I've seen them another 10 with my son.
He likes them?
Oh my God, he loves them so much.
Does he like 1, 2, and 3?
Barely. He barely asks to see them.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm very pleased to hear that, because usually I hear people say like, yeah, you know, I showed my kid 4, 5, and 6, and they liked it, but they really loved Jar Jar. You know, like little
really?
Kids really love 4, 5,
I was talking to a guy the other day.
Kids love 1, 2, and 3.
I was talking to a guy the other day who says he was going to show his kids Star Wars movies, and then talk to some guy who says this is how you should show it to him. Show him episodes 4 and 5, and then go back and show episodes 1, 2, 3, and then go back and show episode 6.
Interesting.
I don't get that. I don't get putting the 6 at the end. Why?
I don't know. He says it's like, he's like, and then it kind of structures itself like a Quentin Tarantino
movie. Here's the problem with, I don't know, do you have any parents that listen to this podcast?
Maybe a few.
Oh, yeah, lots.
So don't show them Star Wars when they're too young. Star Wars is a movie that can really first be enjoyed by someone who is 8 or 9 years old. If you show them, I know parents that show their kids Star Wars when they're 4 years old. They can't understand it. It has nothing to do. They don't get any of it.
Right.
So you have to hold off, and you just got to start with 4.
Babies
five,
don't
six.
Like Star Wars.
Yeah.
It turns out.
It's a good t-shirt.
What movie do you...
What?
What movie would you show a baby?
Baby's Day Out.
Wrong. The correct answer is Baby Geniuses.
American Sniper?
Yep. You'd show them American Sniper.
Show them Under the Skin.
Under the Skin. Yeah. I loved Under
American
the Skin.
American good. Hustle.
Oh, it's
American
so cool. Sniper.
There was a screening of it down in downtown at the Ace Hotel where they had like a live orchestra doing the score to it.
The score was amazing.
Yeah. You know what babies love? Thing, babies love Dancer in the Dark. They love that movie.
Love Dancer in the Dark.
They love the music.
AKA Party Bummer.
I remember I was at a party. I was just like, is this song from Dancer in the Dark? Let's go. This is depressing me.
That's how you know to get out of it.
I feel like I've let everybody down on this podcast.
You let no one down.
Well, the last podcast we did, Enjoy Your Burrito, we created a whole phenomenon. And it was based on spiritual concepts. This one we talked about Papa John's and Chipotle and pit bulls and zonkies.
Yeah, real great,
real
things. Potpourri.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't. We'll never top. It's like the next Star Wars movie. We'll never top the last podcast that we did.
No,
I feel really depressed. I'm walking out of here really sad.
Fine. So basically, this was the
sadder
reboot.
Than that dead dog.
This is the reboot. This is the reboot of the first Rainn Wilson podcast. But I want you to know something.
Hit me.
This applies to life, and you can put this on Salt Pink if
okay.
you want. Okay.
Good.
You can get knocked down, but you
get up again,
and nothing's ever going to keep you down.
Right.
You get knocked down. But you get up again. Nothing's ever going to keep you down.
Pissing the night away. Now, that might have not worked for the rest of it, but that was the next line in the song. I realize now that was a mistake to keep going.
That's okay, because you can get up again, and nothing's ever going to keep you down.
You're right.
Do you want to sign off the podcast by telling people to enjoy their burritos, since you're part of the origin story?
Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your burrito. I don't know. What do I say?
That's nice. No,
enjoy your motherfucking burrito.
You can do that, bitches. Too.
Enjoy your Johnny Pachotle burrito.
Johnny
from Chipotle.
And seriously, Chipotle, send fucking burrito cards.
Send the cards over to Johnny Pachotle.
I tweeted earlier when I found out about your card to Chipotle and said, I love.
Did you really?
Yeah,
While we were doing the podcast, you did that?
Right after you said that. You guys started talking about each other, and I tuned out. I said, I love at Chipotle tweets. And then I said, please RT. And they said, wow, thanks for the love. Myra.
Who's Myra?
I guess the one Matt who Myra? Runs the...
Sorry, she's Jonah. I forgot rep. To tell you guys.
So I'm going
to
follow. Maybe they'll DM
Chipotle.
Me back about...
so just, much work just to save like,
you know, I've never tried to get anything... For this
now,
hard.
Also, let's think about how often Jonah eats at Chipotle in a year. Maybe it's like 7 times in a year you're going to eat at Chipotle.
Oh, probably less than that, yeah.
If they give him a card, it's going to be every day.
Yeah, mate. No, I don't know. I don't even know where one is near me.
Well, now you're not going to get it. Because
well, you get the one next to one by right by Meltdown.
I got food poisoning and I threw it out.
You're not supposed to eat the card.
We got to find a place to sign out here.
No, that's fine. Chipotle, send us cards, Chipotle. Send one for Jonah Ray, Matt Myra, Katie Levine,
and everyone
Kyle Clark.
Who listens to this podcast.
And that's it.
Wow, we really
that's all we need.
Really I'm kind of on Rain's side with this one. This wasn't just...
Yeah, let's go.
No, I'm not ready.
This is the worst podcast. We're leaving, Chris. You talk. You're on your own.
Here, everyone, chew some gum and these vegan cookies.
Hey, let's go. I hear Mark Maron's on the show today. Let's go over there.
No. bye, guys.
Toodles.
Yeah, just sit here. Down. I'll get up again. Sit here. Everyone's gone. Fucking. I don't need anybody. Just need myself. I just need you, Kyle.
All right.
Oh man.
I know, right?
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail. Or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies and brands to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity, a how-to guide for navigating life's challenges from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.